Is the Fed's latest stimulus working in the wrong direction?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiotakis. Oil prices started trending higher last week on the heels of the Federal Reserve's new economic stimulus measures. The cost of crude has been up as much as 6%, and gold prices hit another high today on fears the Fed's move to pump another $600 billion into the economy could have a nasty side effect, inflation. So is this any way to stimulate the economy? European leaders don't think so. They're roundly criticizing the Fed's move, as economist Julia Coronado explains at BNP Paribas.
When the Fed adds stimulus to the economy, it weakens the dollar, which of course means the currencies of these other nations are appreciating. And given that a lot of them depend on exports for growth, they don't take that very well.
Well, let's see how Wall Street is taking all this today. The Dow is nearly a half a percent in the red. The S&P 500 also off by a third of a percent. The Nasdaq, on the other hand, is above the waterline, but only by a tiny fraction. Chrysler says it lost $84 million in the third quarter, down by half from the previous 3 months. But for the year overall, the carmaker is raising its outlook. Alisa Roth covers the auto industry for Marketplace.
Chrysler did post a net loss, but it had an operating profit of $239 million. What happened is it's having to pay very high interest rates on loans from the U.S. and Canadian governments, which is pushing its numbers into loss territory. What's really driving the success, though, is vehicle sales. Worldwide, they were down a bit during this quarter, but in the U.S., they were up 20%. Bill Visnick is senior editor at EdmondsAutoObserver.com. He says a few vehicles have really helped.
Chrysler's stalwart models right now are starting to come through for it. The new Grand Cherokee, completely redesigned, has really helped them increase their profits.
Chrysler's supposed to be rolling out a whole new line of new or refreshed models over the next few months. But Visnick says they may not be new or different enough to really turn the company around once and for all. I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Silicon Valley's richest man, Larry Ellison, takes the stand today in federal court in California. His data management company, Oracle, is suing software maker SAP. The case involves allegations of stolen computer code. But as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports from Silicon Valley, it's also getting personal.
Larry Ellison's firm, Oracle, says that a tiny subsidiary of the German computing giant SAP stole Oracle software and used it for years without paying anything. SAP, which is one of Oracle's biggest rivals, has already admitted wrongdoing and has reportedly agreed to pay more than $100 million in legal fees. But Ellison says SAP owes his company billions. Josh Greenbaum has been following the case at Enterprise Application Consulting.
It's not about the money. It's about public humiliation. It's about the art of war, according to Larry Ellison.
Greenbaum says what Ellison really wants is to embarrass and distract SAP and the company's former CEO, Leo Apotheker. Apotheker just started work last week as Hewlett-Packard's new CEO, and Oracle's attorneys have been trying to issue him a subpoena for weeks, but they can't find him. HP says Apotheker wasn't involved in any wrongdoing, but executives there refused to discuss their new CEO's whereabouts. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
What happens when the fuel taxes that pay for most of our roads are lost to more efficient cars and better mass transit? In the first of a series on the future of transportation, Kathy Ducham looks at one alternative to the gas tax, something called congestion pricing.
To understand the concept of congestion pricing, we take a ride on the Washington, D.C. Beltway with David Lewis. He's a transportation economist with the consulting firm HDR. Right now, the lanes we drive in are toll-free. With congestion pricing...
You see that steel girder that crosses the road?
Right.
That would be mounted with cameras and electronic devices.
Those devices would record when we cross from a free lane into a designated toll lane that's moving faster.
And at the end of the month, you'd get a bill for making that trip.
That's the way congestion pricing works. Instead of a tax on the amount of gas you use, you get taxed on the miles you drive, and you pay more to drive in the peak commute. Lewis says, think of it like a surcharge for a movie.
No one objects to paying more to go to the movies on a Saturday night than they pay to go to the matinee.
Lewis says even the most skeptical drivers will pay the tolls when they see less traffic.
So if we could reduce the volume of traffic that we're stuck in right now by 10%, our speed might go up by 20%.
Congestion price lanes can be found in California and Colorado. There's also one on the Virginia side of D.C. On the Maryland side of the Capitol, there are plans for a highway where all lanes will be tolled. It's called the Intercounty Connector. As you'd expect, there's opposition.
Very concerned that the tolls are going to be charged will price many of the public off the road.
Phil Andrews is a county councilman in the suburbs where the new highway is under construction. Andrews agrees people should pay more for transportation. But he says 25 cents a mile, the approved rate for the new highway, is too much. Andrews wants to revisit the gas tax.
I think the gas tax needs to be raised each year by a nickel to a dime until it's producing enough revenue to fund the transportation projects that we need.
But policymakers wonder about the day when we're all driving electric cars. There won't be much gas to tax. That's one reason why support for congestion pricing continues to grow. In Gaithersburg, Maryland, I'm Kathy Duchamp for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, see if you can spot the entrepreneurial opportunity in this. Kids who can't bring their cell phones to class. Enter a man with a plan, mobile storage for mobile phones. The New York Daily News reports today more than 700 students are paying a dollar each every school day to leave their phones with an enterprising businessman. He's parking panel trucks outside a couple of schools in the Bronx so the kids can, you know, communicate with each other. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You remember Knight Rider, the talking car? Well, the future's here, and it'll even compliment you.
And we find that that type of flattery encourages drivers to feel like, gee, the car cares about me, the car's thinking about me, and the car thinks I'm smart.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. No need to keep your eyes on the road or your hands upon the wheel. A story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.